Here's Robert Kraft right now. He'll sit down and make the official announcement, and then
thank you,
Bill Belichick will join him.
This is a great day for the New England Patriots. I'm very excited to introduce to you our new head coach, Bill Belichick.
I'm thrilled to be part of this organization and to be able to have the opportunity to lead this team. What I'm going to demand from the players and from the people in the organization is that they make the commitment towards a championship. That's what our goal is. That's all I really am about, is trying to win football games.
Here comes one of greater importance if he makes it, and it's right down the pipe. No time on the clock, and the Patriots have won Super Bowl 36. Unbelievable.
People thought you were crazy when you gave up a number one draft choice for this man right here, Coach Bill Belichick.
Well, the best deal I ever made was getting this guy.
Great job of playing the game the way we want to play it. Taking care of the ball, turning the ball over, running the ball, making big plays, covering kicks, all the stuff we talked about, you guys did it.
The New England Patriots claim their second Super Bowl championship in 3 years.
And the New England Patriots are on their way to solidifying their team as an NFL dynasty.
We'll always do what's best for the football team. That's what it's all driven by. We're on to Cincinnati. We're on to Cincinnati.
Extends the hands, he has it. Wilson, quick throw. And it's good. Intercepted around the Butler. Butler has it at the one. Malcolm Butler stepping in front of the throw.
Ruffled a few feathers. Not in a dirty way, just in a highly competitive way. They made everybody else better.
We all, at one point or another, have played for a coach who's a jerk.
Look, get up there on him, jam him, and when he runs away from you, then just run him down. You with me? Don't get into a quickness game with him, because you're not very quick.
Second and goal to go from the two. Toss sweep right for James White. Cuts it under the right arm. Cuts it upfield. Driving forward. Diving to the goal line.
It's
a touchdown. And a title for the Patriots.
I can't believe it.
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Robert and I, after a series of discussions, have mutually agreed to part ways. There's so many fond memories and thoughts that I think about the Patriots and always be a Patriot.
This is a special presentation on the Sports Map Radio Network, bringing you live coverage of the end of an era. From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Anthony Pepe.
And welcome in, Die Hard Nation, a historic day here in New England. Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots agree to mutually part ways after 24 years of dominance. Jeff Dawson, East Coast Sports Investors, is here. Mark Linehan will be here shortly. Let's kick off the show and go right to the Progressive Insurance guest line, sponsored by Progressive. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $750 on average. The radio voice of the New England Patriots, Bob Soucy, friend of the show. Hey, Bob, welcome back to the Diehards. How are you, man?
Hey, Tony, I'm great. A little under the weather, but it's good to be with you. And, you know, like everyone else here, about to confront a new era in Patriots football. And you certainly, with that montage coming out of the break, summed up 24 remarkable years of the last era here.
We heard some familiar voice in there. Who was that?
Hey, brought back a lot of fond memories, that's for sure.
It's kind of weird. Like, is it sad? Is it a sad day? Is it a happy day? It seems like a weird day to me. Like, a lot of emotions, I guess. To sum it all up, a lot of emotions today.
Yeah, I think so. I think you'll find all those emotions, depending on, you know, where you're taking the emotional pulse, whether it's the fans who call in every day on sports talk radio, clamoring for changes for months and weeks on end, some in media circles, or if it's the people that, you know, have been through and through, Bill Belichick and Bill We Trust people from day one of, you know, really the post-Brady era to this point, because this is, I think, kind of the culmination of where the Patriots have gone since Tom left via free agency at the end of the 2019 season, and is as much about moving the organization forward as well as the day-to-day, game-to-game, you know, effect that a coach has on a team. And obviously, there's, in my opinion anyway, I say obviously, but in my opinion, there's never been anybody better than Bill Belichick. And like I said, I think you'll find all the emotions from people who have wanted Bill gone, but then so many who wish Bill would remain.
Bob, what was your relationship like with Bill Belichick? What was your experience like being around him?
Well, you know, I didn't have a lot of access to Bill that anybody else in the media didn't enjoy. Yeah. I, you know, periodically had a chance to sit down and talk with him. If my partner, Scott Zolak, did most of Bill's radio interviews,
sure,
as well as his spots on the weekly television show and online when he would break down plays from the previous game and preview an upcoming opponent. But periodically I got a chance to sit in for Scott on those. And you know, I had a good relationship with him in press conferences, but I've always said to people, I didn't have to ask the questions that, you know, the beat reporters had to ask sometimes. So as the team play-by-play broadcaster, I was always looking for information that would help me learn about the game or learn about an upcoming opponent. There was nobody better to expound on, you know, any number of areas of football. It was like walking into a college lecture hall at times, especially on a Friday when really the game plan was put to bed and Bill was in a more relaxed mood. But he always treated me very well, always very respectful. You know, I came from the Naval Academy, and I don't think that gave me instant access to his circle of trust immediately. I had to earn that. But nonetheless, I think that created at least a common denominator between us when we did sit down and talk periodically. And Bill knew a lot of the people that I knew, people that had been very good to me and believed in me as their broadcaster at Navy when I came to the Patriots. And, you know, we shared an affinity for the Naval Academy and the Army-Navy game in particular.
Bob, it's Jeff Dawson. How are you this evening?
I'm great, Jeff. Good to be with you.
You talked about emotions in that intro that they put together to start the show. I didn't feel those emotions when Tom left, and I've always been an In Bill We Trust guy. Not that I disrespected Tom in any ways. Is it those emotions that you're talking about, the kind of what I'm feeling, is it the fact that they're both gone now and that era is over and we're starting over? Or do you think there are people like myself that feel that, you know, Bill was such a huge part of this and now he is gone and it's officially over?
Well, you know, I guess I don't see it quite the same way in terms of the emotion. I think there were very strong emotions. From my memory, when Tom, I think part of it with Tom too is the timing of his departure. But I think there was more of an expression of outrage, like on the daily talk shows, and it really continued for a period of time, and really honestly, it's continued, you know, through this past season. When people talk about the Patriots' demise in recent years, there's always, you know, one turning point that people will point to, and that's Brady's departure, the post-Brady era. I do think it's a valid point when you talk about the emotion of seeing both leave. You know, for me, I think that, you know, like I said, it does kind of mark now moving on from the dynasty that, even though the Patriots struggled the last 4 years, I think still existed in the minds of a lot of people here. They were a 4-13 team this year. So to think that, it might seem ridiculous on the surface, but Bill was still always that connection to those championship teams through the years. And now he is moving on, in all likelihood, to another coaching job very soon. And he wants to coach, and he will coach, and it would be strange to see him on another sideline. But I think the Patriots as an organization now are going to move on. And, you know, the dynasty, the 20-plus year period that they reigned over the NFL with Belichick and Brady there for that stretch, it's I think, something that will be unrivaled in the history of sports. I don't know how you can ever recreate that kind of a run. I mean, you could talk about the Canadians and their halcyon days, the Yankees teams, the Bulls, the Celtics of the 60s under Red Auerbach, the Bulls with Jordan, the Warriors, you name it. I just don't think anything in modern sports will come close to matching what the Patriots did in the era of the salary cap and free agency given the NFL landscape to win six championships over that prolonged period of time.
Bob, we got about a minute left here. 10, 15, 20 years from now, what's Bill Belichick going to be remembered for?
Well, I think it's just being a great football coach, you know, winning games. I mean, I think, you know, you heard what Bill said in I think his opening remarks to that montage when he said, this is what I'm all about, winning football games. He won a lot of football games. He's a brilliant football coach. You know, and he obviously had a huge impact economically on the series, too. But so did Tom Brady and so did Robert Kraft. And I think that's the thing, too. You know, Robert Kraft hired Bill Belichick 24 years ago. When who would have given him a job as a head coach at that time in the NFL? And it was a decision that was widely criticized and questioned. And here they are today. And I think that was the great thing about today. And that might, too, be part of the emotional aspect of it that you mentioned, because they had a joint presence today in issuing the statements. It wasn't a case where the statement was released or reported by Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport or one of the other NFL insiders, and then you got a social media post, and that was it. What we learned this morning, was only the prelude to watching Belichick and Kraft, whatever you think of the
sure.
terminology, amicable, parting of the ways. Nonetheless, they were there, they were smiling, and they had an embrace, and I think that's part of it, too.
Bob, thank you so much, Bob. We're up against the clock. Thank you so much. Appreciate the time out of your busy schedule, and we'll talk to you later on down the line.
All right, guys. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bob.
The radio voice of the New England Patriots, Bob Soucy, on the Progressive Insurance Guest Line. Coming up next, friend of the show, Super Bowl 25 champ, played for Bill Belichick, Steve DiOssi is next.
You're listening to the Sports Map Radio Network, bringing you live coverage of the end of the Bill Belichick era in New England. Now back to the Sports Map Radio studios with Anthony Pepe.
Hanging out with Jeff Dawson, East Coast Sports Investors. Mark Linehan will be here shortly. 333 wins, 14 wins shy of Don Shula, 24 seasons with the New England Patriots. And Bill Belichick and the Patriots agree to mutually part ways. And it's a historic day here in New England. And we'll go back to the Progressive Insurance guest line, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. For a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. Longtime friend of the show, Super Bowl 25 champion, played for Bill Belichick and then interviewed him week after week after week on WEEI, the great Steve DiOssi. Hey, Steve, welcome back to the Diehards. How are you?
Wait a minute. What happened? I've been out of touch. What happened? Come on. My God, my phone started ringing off the hook this morning, and between the local TV and radio and then a little bit of national stuff, I've just been nonstop Belichick talk all day, and I appreciate talking to some guys that I enjoy talking to about it. So back most of those ones I barely knew who I was talking to. Now we can get comfortable and talk about all this good stuff.
There you go. So you interviewed Bill Belichick week after week, a Patriots Monday with Glenn and Fred and Pete, and you guys were the must-listen-to segment of the week when you have Belichick on. What were those times like working with Bill Belichick?
Well, it was fantastic because I had come to know Bill through playing for him, and then my son was a ball boy for a couple of years with him, and he used to come to my son's high school games two or three times a year with his sons, and then he did the same thing when he was in college at Brown University. He would sit there and come and bring his two boys on a home game where they'd have to be at the hotel till 6 or 7, and he would just sit there and talk football with his boys. I don't know if I ever told you a story about him and his son sitting there, and they're sitting about in front of us. And I said, "Well, go get a box in the press box." And he goes, "No, we'll sit in the stands." He's got his two boys there, and I noticed it in the whole first quarter. They're just having a conversation about football. He wasn't testing them, he wasn't grilling them. He was just talking about what was going on in football. And then my son's sophomore year, and they Brown played this strange defense that I really hadn't figured out. And I was pretty good at figuring out defense. I hadn't really figured it out. And Belichick asked me, he goes, "Hey, what are they doing with Zach?" And I sloughed it off to his son, "Steve, what are you seeing?" He watches three or four plays. He turns around. He says, I think they're dropping the tackle down to a one spot, bringing the end over the top and freeing Zach up to run and get after the quarterback. Bill turns around, looks at me, and says, have they always done that? I'm like, yeah, definitely, Bill. That's spot on, Stephen. I just had football explained to me by a 14-year-old. I mean, where does that come from? But he was, Bill gave me an opportunity when I got traded from Dallas to New York. Harry Carson just retired, because if Harry was there, I never would have seen the field. The spot was open, and I earned the spot, and he stepped up and told me at the end of camp, you know, hey, you've earned the spot, and let's see where it goes. And he gave me an honest, straight-up chance, and had a great relationship with him the whole time. But on the radio, it was great because, you know, Glenn and Fred, if there was ever a hard question to be asked, the two of them would look at me and say, okay, look, you know, your turn. You gotta ask the question. Because I had a relationship with Bill longer than they had. I'm like, well, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. Glenn, you run the show. You should be asking the hard questions. He goes, nope, don't want to do it. Not going to do it. And Fred was like, I can't do it. And, of course, Pete was busy blubbering in the corner just because Belichick was in the same room. So it was fantastic. But we all had a great time. And every one of us, and he was better with us because we figured it out very early that if you give Bill Belichick an opportunity to explain football in terms of the history of football and how things came to be and why things happen in certain ways, you give him an opportunity to teach something, and that's where he's at his best. We even asked him one time, you know, after 20 years of greatness and every game, you know, most, not 80% of the games being fairly easy victories, you run out of questions after a while. So one time I just threw it out there. I said, Coach, what would you have been doing if you didn't end up coaching? Didn't even blink. First thing he said, I'd probably be teaching. I'd probably be teaching somewhere at a small New England college and maybe coaching lacrosse or doing something. But he loves to teach, and that's the biggest thing about Bill Belichick and the greatest teacher of football I've ever been around.
Was he misunderstood? I mean, obviously, to those media press conferences, we're on to Cincinnati, and how abrasive he was and didn't answer the questions. But he wasn't like that with you guys, and you talked about that. Is he misunderstood?
I think his motivation there, and it's totally in character for Bill Belichick. He looked at that 15 minutes he had to do after the game, or on Mondays or Wednesdays, whenever it was. He looked at that as time away from his team, and he would forbear it. He looked at it as 15 minutes where he couldn't be, I don't know, talking to his coaches or watching film or whatever. So it sometimes it seemed like an annoyance to him, but he understood it was part of the job, and he was always good to us, because I was friends with him, and he respected the hell out of Fred Smirlis for his career, and of course Glenn was one of the best Boston guys to ever do radio around here, and he appreciated that, and he was more forthcoming with us than he would with anyone else. And I remember one time, and I don't know if you remember this, but he starts talking and he's going on, and whoever was in the studio there with running the show for us, our producer, was waving like crazy, and Bill Belichick's going on for 15, 20 minutes about something, and great conversation. They're like, we gotta go to break. I'm like, we are not going to break. This is Bill Belichick riffing about football, and you just can't do this. He was great with us because he knew, first off, we're not going to try to trap him with any gotcha questions, but we are going to ask pertinent questions that matter to the team and to the fans, and I think he had a certain amount of respect for how we handled it.
Was the producer Brett or Andy?
It was probably Andy at the time.
All right.
You know how Andy, he can get a little nervous.
Yeah.
Steve, it's Jeff Dawson. How are you this evening?
Hey, Jeff.
As the Belichick-Brady era was, the championships were coming, as you were just talking about the press conferences, I like to reminisce when Bill was here, Parcells, and then obviously Bill Belichick, and it was the Bill Parcells press conferences. Now we transition to Bill Belichick's. As he was getting older and on to Cincinnati, as Pep was talking about, almost abrasive, you were in the fire, you saw it. As he was getting older, take it from a fan's perspective, How did you see them as he was getting older? These press conferences almost got not angrier, but a little rougher.
Well, I think there were a lot of reporters that were trying to get information out of him that he wasn't ready to give. He looks at the media as simply part of the job. Dealing with the media to him was something that was in the contract. In any NFL head coach contract, there's a certain amount of time you have to press. He just looked at it as another part of his job. I saw the same attitude sometimes when he was coaching. He would be, sometimes he could get abrasive. Sometimes he wasn't. Sometimes he was fine and loquacious and just great with things, but there were times when he was pretty quick with us at times, but he also was a guy that didn't mind back and forth between his players and the coaches. I came to the Giants, and I played for Tom Landry for 5 years, one of the great gentlemen in the history of the game, and one of the first practices I was in, there's coaches yelling at each other, there's players yelling at coaches, there's guys going all over the place, and this is a whole lot different. But as long as you could tell him what you were thinking, why you were thinking it, he had an open mind. He had an absolute open mind to anything he could learn football wise. So while being a great teacher, he also liked to learn. I don't think he thinks that he's going to learn anything from the media, and that's probably part of the relationship that he had. But I can tell you this, from a guy who used to shower up quick and dress real quick just so I could get into the back of the room for Parcells' press conferences, because Parcells was a master at the press conferences. I can tell you this. I did the same thing with Belichick. Bill Parcells gave the media nothing, absolutely nothing, but he did it with a joke and a smile and, calling a guy out for this, that, or the other thing. He was entertaining. Bill Belichick does the same thing in terms of not giving you information, giving you nothing he thinks could hurt his team or help the other team. But he also looked at it. He just didn't have that personality that Bill Parcells had. But he didn't give them anything either. Parcells never gave him anything. Belichick did the same thing, just with a grumpy look on his face.
Hey, Steve, great stuff, great stories. I promise that we've been talking about it. We're going to get down there to Fred and Steve's Steakhouse at Twin River Casino on Rhode Island. We need a cigar and a steak with you, my friend.
I'm doing both right now.
Of course you are.
All right? So I'm actually in the kitchen eating my, because we're so crowded. We have a players' night tonight, so it's so crowded that there was no room for me to sit, so I went in the kitchen and had a steak.
There you go. Good stuff.
Good to be the king sometimes.
Steve D'Aussi, Super Bowl 25 champ. Thank you so much, pal.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate All it. Right. There he is, Steve D'Aussi, the best in the business. Voice of Gillette Stadium, John Rook is next.
Robert Kraft, right?
The SportsMap Radio Network continues with live coverage of the end of the Bill Belichick era in New England. Now back to your host, Anthony Pepe.
Hanging out with me tonight, Jeff Dawson, East Coast Sports Investors. Mark Linehan will be here shortly. Again, end of an era, Jeff. Bill Belichick, after 24 seasons with the New England Patriots, 6 Super Bowl championships, 9 appearances. 266-121 is the record. 30 postseason wins, 17 AFC East titles, those t-shirt and hat games, and 18 playoff appearances. But ended the season, the last season, 4-13, missed the playoffs for the third time in 4 years. We all knew this day was going to come. We just weren't sure when, and it happened today. And it seemed very weird.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this for weeks upon weeks. We talked about the game in Germany where Tom E. Curran comes out and says it's done, it's official, after they were 1-8. And then you win a couple games, and then you start to say, well, maybe we can bring the gang back together. They get beat by the Jets to end. After, I think he had won like 16 in a row or something like that against the Jets. And now we were waiting for the day. Was it going to be Black Monday? Yep. No Tuesday? And then I talked to you on before we came on live about potentially why it didn't happen on Wednesday. And it happens, obviously, first thing.
Something happened on Wednesday that I don't know about?
Supposedly that the Patriots were going to release this yesterday, but Bill called them up and says, hey, I got inside scoop that Nick Saban's going to retire today. I don't want to do it on the day that Nick's retiring. Let's wait and do it first thing this morning, and that's what they did.
So Nick Saban retires Wednesday night. Bill Belichick says, hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
You know, it's funny with all the speculation of whether or not he was going to come back, whether or not he's going to relinquish his title, his GM and all stuff. He's on now, Charles? All right, we have our guest. We'll put that conversation on hold, and we'll hop to the Progressive Insurance guest line. Once again, bundle auto and save. Visit progressive.com. Good friend of the show, longtime friend of the show. Voice at Gillette Stadium, also the voice of the Providence Friars. John Rook is on the line. John, welcome back to the Diehards. Anthony and Jeff, how are you, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Hey, a little interesting day happening here in New England.
Yeah. I have to admit, I'm still a little surprised at it all. I know everything has trended that way,
all right,
you know, especially since the end of the season, but I'm still a little surprised that it happened. I thought that they would try to make things happen, and apparently they did, as Robert Kraft kind of confirmed today. It's a little surreal today, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, as things take place after a 24-year, you know, historical career.
You know, John, it's funny because I think I talked to you when Tom Brady had left, and what's it going to be like being the in-stadium voice of the Patriots and calling the, you know, and doing your job the first time Tom Brady's not in a Patriot uniform. Is it going to be weird not having Bill Belichick on the sidelines next season?
Oh, no doubt. Absolutely no doubt. I mean, you know, life goes on as it all does, and, you know, in every instance when you have change after, you know, going a certain way over an extended period of time. But, you know, the thing about it is that, you know, what Bill Belichick has done, especially in this day and age of parity and salary caps and everything else that's going on, it's unprecedented. I you know, and I don't think I'm going over the bounds by, you know, saying that we may never see something like this in our lifetime again, just because the game is just built different now than what it was, you know, over the course of the last 20 to 30 years.
Hey, John, I'm curious, and again, I mentioned you, you're the play-by-play voice of the Providence Friars, longtime voice as well, and coaching changes are hard. You just dealt with that in Providence. Ed Cooley goes to Georgetown, and Kim English comes in. How do the Patriots find their king, Kim English? Because Kim English seems like the perfect fit, you know, obviously coming in with a big name, Ed Cooley, but he seems like the right guy. How do the Patriots find their Kim English?
You know, that's a great question, Anthony, and I would tell you that I don't know that they will. I think that there's every good opportunity that they will, because I think that, you know, the actual candidate pool, you know, to move in at New England is probably a short one, but they've got to, you know, do the due diligence. They've got, you know, NFL rules. They've got the Rooney Rule that they, you know, need to follow, and, you know, to make sure that they're doing things the right way. And I think their ultimate candidate is probably going to come from one of two people. You know, right now, you know, Gerard Mayo has been at the top of the list for a long time as the heir apparent. And, you know, he was sort of anointed as the heir apparent a year ago. And then I also believe that because of what's transpired a couple of days ago with Mike Vrabel's firing in Tennessee, I do believe that the Patriots are going to take a good long look at Vrabel's potential candidacy. I think in a perfect world, I do agree that that would be a home run hire for the Patriots just because of his background and, you know, the fact that he was a player under Belichick. But I also know that they don't want to lose Gerard Mayo, that everybody feels that, you know, he can be that next guy, that next generation guy. He's only 35. The players love him. The players respect him. The players rally around him. The only issue here is that he doesn't have any head coaching experience. And so if they could figure out a way to make both of those work, you know, where, you know, Mayo and Vrabel could, you know, figure out a way to work together, I think that would truly be the home run hire, at least from New England's point of view.
John, it's Jeff Dawson. How are you this evening?
Good, Jeff. How are you, sir?
Good. You were talking, Pepe was talking about change, and you're dealing with that in Providence this year. And
nobody likes change.
No, not at all, especially in my checking account. But now we'll be dealing with this in New England. And you talked about Mayo, you talked about Vrabel, and me and Pepper on last week. And I said, it was no coincidence that Vrabel news get out there, and then, of course, he was let go on Monday. Word on the street today, especially, is I think through Tommy E. Curran and a few others, that the Mayo job, it's a done deal. As you said, they don't want him to leave. But the big splash, obviously, I think, for Pats Nation is let's bring Vrabel back, won a championship, and go from there. If you had the choice, what would you do?
You know, I like I said, I honestly believe that I'd try to find a way to make them both work, but I realize that they're probably going to have to make that choice. I don't know that Gerard would end up staying where he is and just being Mike's defensive coordinator. I feel like that would probably be the best of both worlds, but I wasn't privy to the conversation that, you know, Mayo had with, you know, Robert Kraft when he convinced Gerard to, you know, stop taking those head coaching interviews a year ago, and we want to keep you here in New England. And so he did. He abruptly dropped everything that he was, you know, going out to interview for this time a year ago. And I think everybody assumed at the time, and the Krafts have done nothing to dissuade that thought, that he was going to be sort of there to step in, you know, when the opportunity came about. You know, he was their guy for life. And I just, you know, and then when Vrabel was elected enshrined into the Patriot Hall of Fame earlier this fall, and this is what apparently ticked off the Tennessee Titans because of his reaction to that and ultimately led to his firing this week. But I thought at the time he just sounded so close to the organization. I mean, at halftime of the enshrinement, he was like, okay, we need to finish this stuff up. We got a game to play here. And I turned and I looked at my spotter and I said, who is we? Because his awesome. Team's in Tennessee. You know, his team was off that week, but I'm just like, who's we? And I just struck me as incredibly odd. Incredibly odd. And so that's kind of where I always have thought, you know, hey, if the opportunity ever presented itself, I think the Patriots would slide that way. So it's going to be an interesting couple of days to see what they ultimately decide here.
John, we've got about a minute left here. We obviously knew this day was coming. We just weren't sure on how it transpired. But did the Patriots handle this thing correctly?
I think so. I think they handled this thing about as correctly as you could handle it. And, you know, it's an awkward thing. Let's face it. When you're moving on after 24 years, people have been married for a long time and you get divorced. I mean, you know, it's never really amicable. And it was truly amicable today. And so I give both sides, you know, Mr. Kraft and Coach Belichick, I give them a lot of credit for, you know, if they have differences, they buried them publicly. And I think they all realized, look, you know, it would be a little awkward for them to move on. They talked about maybe moving on, but it's kind of like, well, then, you know, that could make things confusing in the long run and ultimately defeat our purpose. So let's just make a clean break of it. And I think Bill agreed. I wouldn't be at all surprised if that, you know, they ended up paying him what they owed him. They owe him for another year and then just say, all right, we're not going to get any draft picks. We're going to let you go and you do what you want to do. And we know you still want to coach and we wish you well. And they've alluded to all of that. And I think that that's entirely possible that that's what will transpire.
John Rook, what are you working on, and how can Die Hard Nation find you?
I've got a column every Sunday in the Providence Journal. So at projoe.com, they can find me there. And we'll still do our off-season Patriots podcast and Patriots Playbook podcast on patriots.com.
Thank you so much, pal. I know how busy you are in your schedule. Appreciate the time, as always.
You got it, buddy. Anytime.
All right. There he is, the voice at Gillette Stadium and the longtime voice of the Providence Friars. My first radio job was splicing reel-to-reel tape of the Providence Friars basketball game. I'm not going to give you the date, but it was a long time ago when I mentioned reel-to-reel.
Was that Billy Donovan way back then?
I think so. That was the great John Rook on the Progressive Insurance guest line with the Diehards. We'll take another timeout when we return. The Progressive guest line is cooking. Super Bowl 36 champion. He was Mr. Irrelevant. First Mr. Irrelevant to win a Super Bowl. Former linebacker, played for Bill Belichick, Marty Moore. Joins the Diehards next.
You're listening to the Sports Map Radio Network, bringing you live coverage of the end of the Bill Belichick era in New England. Now back to the Sports Map Radio studios with Anthony Pepe.
And welcome back, Die Hard Nation. That's right, special edition of the Die Hards. We're usually on 8 to 10 Eastern Time. We're doing a couple hours. We're doing double duty here. 6 to 10 today as we pay tribute to the GOAT, Bill Belichick, And again, the Patriots and Bill Belichick have mutually parted ways after 24 very successful seasons. Maybe not all seasons. Jeff Dawson, East Coast Sports Investors, is here, and Mark Linehan will be joining us as well. But pretty interesting day here in New England.
Well, I thought when you were talking GOAT, you were talking to me, about me.
Duh.
And I was going to thank you, of course. Yeah, you know, it kind of the last 3 or 4 years, obviously, you know, we did get into the playoffs. Mac's first
playoffs
year to get blown out by Buffalo in the last couple of years have not been good. End of an era, and the emotions really are weird today.
Yeah, it's a strange day here in New England. Let's get back to the Progressive Insurance guest line, sponsored by Progressive. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $750 on average. He is a Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl 36. I was actually at that Super Bowl in New Orleans with that 14-point underdog upset against the St. Louis Rams, the greatest show on turf. He was Mr. Irrelevant, the first Mr. Irrelevant to win a Super Bowl. Linebacker, former linebacker, played for Bill Belichick. Marty Moore is on the Progressive Insurance guest line. Marty, welcome back to the Diehards. Anthony and Jeff, how are you?
Hey, good, guys. How you doing?
We're doing all right, man. So what was it like playing for Bill Belichick?
Well, you know, Bill's he's a great guy. You know, everyone kind of gets this dry sense of humor from him, but he was a D coordinator in 96 with Al Groh and Romeo and Dante, and probably the best coaching staff we had on defense in the Patriots' era. Then being the head coach and kind of doing it the Belichick way, the Patriot way, and just the culture that he built with the Patriots was just something that no one else in the NFL could match. And that's why everyone – you know, tried to aspire to be, you know, the Patriot way and do things Belichick way. And it's a tragedy, in my opinion, that this has happened, because I do feel like he's going to coach another 2 or 3 years and get that record of wins, and then he'll eventually retire.
And again, you mentioned that he's 14 shy of Don Shula, 15 shy of the all-time wins record in the NFL. He's 333 total wins. Marty, I'm curious, what was Bill Belichick like off camera?
You know, Coach Belichick off camera, you know, he's a really nice guy. You know, I mean, he's a big fisherman. You know, that's kind of one of the things, his hobbies, I guess you could say. But you know, he would laugh and joke. And I went up to training camp 4 years ago, and we talked, and you know, he hasn't changed. You know, Coach Belichick, what he was in 2001 is what he was in, you know, in 2023. So he's just he's a very, very nice guy. But when it comes to football, it's all ball and it's all business, and that's just how you have to play the game as a professional athlete. And he took it to, you know, let's be pros. You know, let's, you know, do our job and go out there and win and do what's best for the team. And it was a team first mentality with Coach Belichick. And I know he worked his assistants hard, his players hard, but that's why he has 6 Super Bowls. And that's why we won when we were there.
Marty, it's Jeff Dawson. How are you this evening?
Good, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing great. Listening to Pepe, I'm having flashbacks here. 2001 Super Bowl, he used the best show on turf. Talking about, of course, the Rams that year.
I'll never forget when that confetti fell and I was in that stadium.
And
it was fantastic.
I was holding hands with my parents as Vinatieri kicks it dead center and we popped the champagne. 14-point underdogs that game, Marty. And my question to you, as being a player and a part of that team, when did the switch go off to say, we're on to something here, this team can compete and we could possibly get a good run in the AFC and, of course, to the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, that year was an interesting year. You know, Bledsoe got hurt. Mo Lewis hit Drew on the sideline, and Drew actually had I don't know if it was a ruptured vessel in his chest, but, you know, had 2 liters of blood pumped off of him that night, and the Brady era began. And Coach Belichick, you know, was kind of, you know, with Tom Brady that whole year. And when Brady won, you know, we started winning, and Tom got more and more comfortable. And then when Bledsoe came back, Coach Belichick had to make the decision to stick with Brady. Well, then, you know, in the playoffs, if no one remembers, but the Steelers, Tom gets hurt and Bledsoe has to come in and win the game to get us to the Super Bowl.
Unbelievable.
So then there was another controversy of who's going to start the Super Bowl. And he went with Tom. That was you know, kind of the year that I think everyone was like, you know, hey, we got something here. And then they kind of rattled off 03, 04, and the air began. But I really feel like the Patriot air started, you know, in 94 when I got there, when Bill Parcells became the coach. And, you know, we kind of turned things around, got to the Super Bowl in 96. We lost to Green Bay. But then Pete Carroll came on. Yeah, so, you know, so that's kind of where I think it started. And then Coach Belichick took it to the next level his second year when we won the Super Bowl. And it just kind of elevated from there.
Marty, where was the team at with Drew Bledsoe and Tom Brady? Were they split?
I'll be completely honest with you. When that happened, I was hurt, so I had torn my Achilles tendon in half that year, and so I was kind of, you know, on the IR.
Sure.
And when Bledsoe came back, I called EEI, and I said, you know, Bledsoe needs to be the quarterback because in the NFL, when you get hurt, you don't lose your job. And I will say this: I was wrong. You know, Tom Brady could have been the quarterback, and Coach Belichick made the right decision there. But you know, I think Drew handled it as a professional and grace, and had a great career. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback in my mind, and I hope he gets inducted. I just think that the best quarterback that ever played a game replaced him. And that's why Drew Bledsoe has not got the accolades that he deserves.
Did Tom Brady ever forgive you for that?
You know, I never did say anything to Tom about that. you know, I it is funny, though, because when I went up to training camp, Willie McGinnis was on the sideline, and me and Willie were catching up. And Tom walked over to say hi to Willie. And Willie said, "Hey, Tom, you remember Marty?" And I looked at Tom and I said, "Tom, you have no idea who I am." And he goes, "No, I know who you are. You played with me when I was a rookie." And I was like, "Well,
that's
thank
great.
You for remembering me. I had no idea you would have had any clue who I was." So so that was nice. Not sure if he still remembers me, but at least said nice things.
That's great stuff. You mentioned, obviously, Parcells and obviously a very powerful figure and character and coach and one of the best to ever do it. And, of course, Belichick the GOAT. How different were they? Were they similar? Talk a little bit about their coaching styles and Parcells and Belichick.
Well, I think Bill Parcells, he had a little bit more personality with the media and mm-hmm. with, you know, with players. He'd kid around with you. And he would kind of, you know, just when you would walk into the facility on Monday, he'd give you thumbs up or thumbs down. Or when you were on the training table, he'd go over and kind of give you, "Hey, sweetheart, you know, you're going to be okay." And kind of rag you a little bit, where Coach Belichick really didn't do that. He just kind of gave you the look. Or, you know, the thing about Coach Belichick, he's so detailed, and he's such a good coach, and just the details that he teaches and the tempo of practice and just what he gets out of players. Coach Parcells and Coach Belichick knew how to push buttons on guys, and they were both great coaches. And Coach Belichick, in my opinion, was so detailed and what he did and how you made the steps and hand placement, and to the point of, you know, at practice, bringing in this detergent and having wet balls at practice, just constantly preparing for, you know, what could happen in a game. And we were so prepared. The coach has had us prepared. Coach Belichick has prepared. And then, you know, and the other thing about it was just the team. You know, it was the team. And he didn't treat anybody differently. You know, you're the starter, you're the backup, or you're the number one guy on the team, or the 53rd on the roster. Everyone got the same treatment, and I think everyone respected each other for that reason.
Hey, Marty, great stuff, great insight. Where are you up to nowadays, and how can people find you?
So I'm working for the NFL. I'm NFL Legends Director for the Central North.
Awesome.
And you know, and then I work in medical sales. So I manage the state of Kentucky for a medical device company. And now I put people back together as I was trying to tear them apart when I played as a player.
Good stuff, man. Thank you so much.
All right. You guys take care.
Thank you, Marty.